station 99.3 Nigeria Info. Turn up my headphones. Sounds like me in a hip hop studio. Turn on my microphone. Turn up my mic. That's too much. The sunny side. Good afternoon to you and welcome. My name is Joyce. Another beautiful Monday afternoon. How are you? So you have to understand that somewhere at the back of my head, I'm yet to perfect broad daylight work. I'm still very much in the trenches of where I'm coming from. my sleep pattern is still out of sorts. I still, you know, kind of stay awake sometimes in the crack of dark. And then I kind of sleep in the morning. Yeah, because that's been my life for like a very long time. So sometimes when I say good afternoon, it hasn't quite clicked yet. And then sometimes I still catch myself saying, oh, good morning. And someone says, oh, no, Joyce, it's not morning. It's afternoon. I'm like, well, good day. That was the whole intent. Honey, start. Take it back. All right. Welcome to the show. Hope you had a very beautiful weekend. Thanks to all of you. And thanks for your prayers. If you continued praying for me, I could practically go into the business of trading prayers. Like that many prayers came my way on my birthday. Thank you very much for your prayers. I'm fine. I'm well. It's something I'm grateful for, besides the fact that I just love February 6th. Besides the fact that I love February 6th, I think I'm also thankful both for the opportunity of life to be alive and then to do what I love. Not many people can say that. So I count myself to not just be fortunate, but to be blessed and to hopefully be worth this, be worth the opportunity of life. That. So thank you very much. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. I could honestly ship some prayers to you because I have that in abundance. But I really do wish you light. I wish you comprehension. I wish you knowledge. I wish you knowing. I want to say I wish you what you wish yourself. But then given the fact that many of your wishes are just benched on illusions of the world. So I think I wish you the truth. And I really wish you the courage to hold, embrace the truth. And if you can start from the truth, then life is a whole lot easier. All right. So this is an opportunity where I'd like to share with you something off the backs of what we had a conversation on last week, which is who you are. And quite a number of people sent me messages asking that I tell them who I am. And I feel the reason you are asking that is maybe you can get some kind of mirroring, a reflection of what might probably give you an idea as to who you are. I spoke a little randomly about that last week, but then I tried not to be your I try to withhold my own perspective of who I am. And then I thought, you know what, this is a good way to start the show on a very beautiful Monday morning, just to remind you about how knowing yourself is possible. Here is one problem about not knowing yourself. If you don't know yourself, then one thing, you don't know your capacity for chaos or trouble or evil. So you have to know that so that you can exercise will over that. And then even worse, if you don't know yourself, then you don't know what you can become, because you don't know. I mean, maybe you're supposed to come into life and I'm supposed to give you a mansion somewhere in your favorite location in Nigeria, but you don't know it. So you're probably living somewhere in the back of town, but if only you knew that I owe you something, then you would come to me. Imagine if you didn't know that you were supposed to be the guy to solve one of the world's biggest problem. Then you live your life not knowing what you could have become, only because there was no effort in trying to find out who you are. So it's a lose-lose situation if you come through life not knowing. You don't have the luxury of ignorance. You don't have the liberty to not know. There's too much at stake not knowing. Off on a break. We'll be right back on the sunny side. My name is Joyce. A beautiful afternoon to you. The sun rises here.
The sunny side with Joyce.
The Greeks had the maxim, know thyself. How do we come to know ourselves in terms of our personalities and, more importantly, potential? One of the first ways to come to know yourself is to understand that you don't. You know, you can learn to kind of watch yourself like you're watching a stranger, but you have to adopt a position. It's a position of radical humility, I would say. Humility in two senses. So One sense would be the humility of recognizing your ignorance. So you have to understand that you don't know who you are. And that's not easy to understand because you think you know. But then, you know, you remember you can't control yourself very well. You're not very disciplined. You're full of flaws. Maybe you don't know yourself as well as you think. But it's hard to get low enough to understand how deeply it is the case that you are ignorant about who you are. Now, there's an upside to that, too, which also is that you're also ignorant about who you could be. And so the discovery of that, you know, is some reward for the horror of determining who you actually are. And then I would say, well, then you watch yourself. You watch yourself like you're watching a stranger. You watch what you say and you listen. And you think, well, what sort of person would say that? And how am I reacting emotionally when I'm communicating in that manner? You know, is that making me feel stronger, weaker? Is it filling me with shame? Is it helping my confidence? Am I laying out a lie? Am I deceiving myself and other people? Am I adopting this personality at parties that is designed to impress and to amuse, and it comes across as nothing but like self-centered narcissism? What are my dark fantasies? What are my aggressive fantasies? What is it that I'm willing to do? What am I interested in so that I'll spontaneously pursue it? What do I procrastinate about and why? What am I unwilling to do? What do I think is good? What do I congratulate myself for accomplishing? And what do I berate myself for failing to confront and to implement? Those are all incredibly complicated questions, and you don't know the answers to them. So that's a start. And then in terms of potential, well, you'll discover a little bit more about your potential as you discover who you are, especially the darker parts of yourself, because then you discover your potential for mayhem. There's some real utility in that. The discovery that you're dangerous, it's such a useful discovery. It's actually something that strengthens you, because the first thing that a realization like that can in fact produce is the ambition to incorporate that danger into a higher order personality, that dangerousness into a higher order personality. And that can make you implacable. That can make you someone who can say no when you need to say no. You know, that can make you someone who won't avoid necessary conflict. And so that's unbelievably useful. And so that's one of the potentials that you might discover. The other thing you do to discover your potential is to, well, you challenge yourself. Rule 4 in my book, 12 Rules for Life, is compare yourself to who you were yesterday and not to who someone else is today. And that's kind of a good way to start this. It's like, take a bit of a look at yourself and think about what's not so good, that you could improve, that you should improve by your own standards, and that you would improve, you know, and set yourself a little goal. You know, maybe you're not studying at all and you're at university. Or maybe you're at work and you've got this stack of paper there, you know, and you haven't looked at that damn stack for like a month, and you know that you should be, and you're bothering yourself at night because you're avoiding that. It's like, maybe think, well, I've avoided that stack of paper completely for 1 month. I'm quite a coward when it comes to whatever snakes might be hidden in that stack of paper. How about tomorrow I just like put that stack of paper in front of me on my desk and I glance through it for 15 seconds. See if I can do that. It's like, well, you set yourself a goal of improvement. You know, it's a humble goal, because really, are you such a coward that the best that you can bloody well manage after a month of avoidance is 15 seconds of exposure to a stack of paper? You know, it could easily be. You've been avoiding it. So you're obviously afraid of it. And so the situation could be that dismal and dire. And you might think, well, geez, it's no bomb to my ego. It's not fostering the strength of my ego to recognize myself someone who could only withstand 15 seconds of exposure to that thing I'm afraid of. And so that's a form of humility too. It's like, there's things you could do to improve, and you know what they are. And there's small steps that you could take, that you might take, that would put you in that direction. And then the question is, are you big enough to take those small steps? You know, are you capable of grappling with the fact that you're fundamentally flawed to the point where you have to break things down into almost childlike steps in order to manage them? And the answer to that is, yeah, you are. Most people have things they avoid, you know, and they're afraid of. So I would say to some degree, it's the lot of everyone. People vary in the degree to which they've conquered that. And you do meet people from time to time who are extraordinarily disciplined. But most of the time they've got disciplined in exactly this manner. It's through slow incremental improvement. And then you challenge yourself. It's like, well, could I do this? That would be better. And you find out. And then you think, well, is there something slightly larger and more challenging that I could do? That would be better. And you try it and you find out. And as you try it and you find out, generally you get better at it and you can take on larger and larger challenges. That's why I suggested, you know, you take responsibility for yourself. That's part of standing up straight with your shoulders back. It's like, take on the world, man. Only at the level that you can manage. You know, when you're ignorant and biased and deeply flawed and immature, it's where everyone starts. You don't want to bite off more than you can chew, but it doesn't mean that you can't wrestle with part of reality. You know, some part that's small enough so that you have a good shot at victory. And then you attain victory over some small part of the chaos. And then you're the person who's victorious over chaos. You're just a beginner, but that's who you are. And then maybe you can get unbelievably good at that. And maybe you can ally to that the ability to recast tyrannical order into chaos and restructure it into something deeper, more profound, and more suitable for human habitation. That's the other half of the hero myth, right? Half is to overcome chaos itself, and half is to confront tyranny where it needs to be confronted. You do that by challenging yourself humbly at the level that you're able to function. It's easier to understand if you think about a child that you're trying to rear properly, and you want to make that child, help that child reveal their highest potential, whatever that is, whatever that means. And what you do is you don't set them a series of impossible tasks in the hope of undermining their self-confidence. You form a relationship with them that is predicated on your interest in their highest mode of being. And then you offer them challenges that are precisely optimized to their ability, right? So they can do them, but they have to stretch. The two elements of their ability would be what they can do and what and how much they're capable of transforming what they can do. And an optimal challenge is stretches you to the end of what you can do and then into the domain of how you can transform. And so if you love a child, then you set them tasks of that nature, and maybe they have a reasonable chance of success, a 70% chance of success or an 80% chance of success. Might depend on how sensitive your child is. You do the same thing for yourself, but you have to be humble and wise enough to understand that you might have to aim pretty damn low, especially in those places where you're not functioning well. And it might be so embarrassing that you can't bring yourself to fathom that that's actually who you are. You have to admit that. And there's going to be a loss of ego or destruction of ego, arrogant ego that necessarily accompanies that. But you need the loss of that arrogant ego because it's precisely what's interfering with your movement forward. You know, it's part of the adversarial process, mythologically speaking, that stops moral progress. You're too proud of who you think you are to notice what you're like so that you could change properly. You don't want to sacrifice that part of yourself. It's probably associated with some delusion that helps you maintain a positive, although very fragile, self-image, you know, in the absence of genuine effort. You know yourself by watching and paying attention. A snake watches like cold-bloodedly with no emotional reaction just to see what's there. It doesn't allow, symbolically speaking, doesn't allow what is wanted or desired to interfere with what is observed. So you watch yourself like that. Well, that's the beginning. And then you challenge yourself continually to see how far past yesterday you can push today and tomorrow, and to continually experiment with expanding the domains, not only of your competence, but of your ability to increase that competence. And it's not obvious to me. The upper limit to that is proportional to the moral effort that you put into it. The more that's guided by the highest of all possible visions, right? The alliance with the highest of all possible conceivable good. And the more it's motivated by, the more it's accompanied by truth in speech and action, the more you will develop your potential. And I believe that potential to be as unlimited in the upward direction, more unlimited in the upward direction than it is unlimited in the direction that brings people to the political and social hells that so often characterize the world that we inhabit. And so you also, I suppose, have to be willing to undertake that as an adventure, because it's a hell of a thing to bear that kind of responsibility. You know, it takes a person out of the ordinary. It takes them out of themselves. There's an alienation and an isolation that goes along with that, and a great sorrow, all of that together. But there's deep meaning to be had in it, and there isn't anything better that you can do.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome. If you have just tuned in, my name is Joyce and you are on The Sunny Side. Man, know thyself. And that in itself is a journey, something worth exploring. So I hope you wake up today and decide, well, I know you're up already. I hope you decide today to know yourself and in that knowledge contribute the quota of your humanity to society and hopefully this world where we at least hope is good for everyone. I mean, it's not even going to fall on our laps. We actually have to conceive a better world, conceive a better Nigeria. And I have to bring my own quota. You have to contribute to the idea of a better Nigeria. And then together we approach the very dream. Actually, it's better than that. We start to live the reality. We start to live in reality our dreams. So it's you bring your dream to life. Yeah, that. I think that's a better way to put it. 39 minutes past 12 on The Sunny Side. We're radioactive. Off on a break. We'll be right back with the gist on cryptocurrency.
Activate. We are radioactive on 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Joyce.
This is Radioactive on The Sunny Side with Joyce.
Okay, so Friday, I mean, I think there's usually something eventful happening in happening within the Nigerian sphere. The question is, does it affect you directly or indirectly? So I don't know how this affects you, but believe me, it might. And all you just have to do is wait through the conversation to see how it does. First of all, the very subject cryptocurrency is only gaining popularity. Well, maybe in some circles. In other circles, but particularly those who are tech heads, tech savvy, pretty much have delved headfirst into this world of digitalized economy, where they are pretty much, at least to the best of their own human capacity, trying to explore and maybe exploit the opportunity of creating money digitally. Well, the intrinsic value of the cryptocurrency is left to, even if you went into a debate, nah. There's hardly any value to it. It's like what we have, this fiat currency we have now. The value is really what the notes reads. If the note says it's 500 naira, well, that's the value. And if we change the paper and put it on another paper, well, that's really the value. It's really not backed by anything. And it's the same thing with the crypto one, the digitalized currency. Friday was another eventful turnout of events here in Nigeria. In a circular sent to banks, pretty much also the public, the Central Bank of Nigeria informed to whom it may concern, which is you and me, and then, of course, your bank, that members of the public as well, they informed us of the risk of associated transactions, or they informed us on the risk associated with transactions in cryptocurrency. They further also stated that they wish to remind regulated institutions that dealing in cryptocurrencies or facilitating payments for cryptocurrency exchanges is prohibited. They needed you to know that operating cryptocurrency exchanges within our system is supposed to first be prohibited. Second, that prohibition takes place immediately. So pretty much was in effect Friday. I think first I want to share with you, and again, as much as I want to kind of share with you what I think my idea of crypto is, those who are dealing in it, those who have, to please call the show. I think you have a better interpretation given the fact that you are dealing in it. Yeah. So explain to everyone else listening what this digitalized currency is. And it really is really as simplistic as that. It's just the details of how it pretty much operates. Something that you also need to consider is that one of the benefits, as they put it, of the cryptocurrency is that it takes away a lot of the time, it saves you time and a lot of the paperwork involved in your regular physical banking. All right, but that's not really the reason why this was not just prohibited, but also the prohibition took place with immediate effect. This was a letter signed by Bello Hassan, Director of Banking Supervision, February 5th, 2021. Well, where is the world going? The world is going digital. Parents are beginning to understand what that means, given, you know, the conversations around social media, proxy accounts, parody accounts, Facebooking, talking to people you can't see, you know. I think our older friends are beginning to understand how that works. But there's a lot more drama to that. The Central Bank of Nigeria justified the ban on cryptocurrency, saying it fuels illicit financial flow and terrorism. The Bank of Nigeria has said cryptocurrencies promote illegal activities and raise risks. The CBN stated that the recent regulatory directive became necessary to protect the financial system and the generality of Nigerians, including the youth population, from the risks inherent in crypto assets transactions, which have escalated in recent times, the dire consequences for the integrity of the financial system and financial stability of the country pretty much is what the core or is what is at the core of this prohibition. A lot of young people have reacted to it, particularly young people who have benefited. I remember someone tagged me to a tweet where a young Nigerian said that crypto or trading in cryptocurrencies helped him through university, helped him with accommodation during university. And one more thing, he mentioned three things that pretty much, you know, has happened for him just trading in cryptos, and that his biggest worry while in university was, of course, everyone's concern, unemployment. But that certainly was an avenue by which he could trade and make some money. All right. The federal government thinks that there is a superior question that Nigerians should be asking. In their view, they believe the question one may be asking is why any entity would disguise its transactions if they were legal based on this opacity. Cryptocurrency have become well suited for conducting many illegal activities, including money laundering and terrorism financing. They also add that this particular crypto situation has led to the purchase of small arms. The thing is that this is not a popular concern. So you might want to I would like for you to take on the position of the central bank and see where they are coming from. So one, they say that crypto is helping fund or finance terrorism. It also brings about the illegal activity of money laundering, the purchase of small arms and light weapons, and they add tax evasion. Okay, so now I think I want you to Remember, if you're dealing in cryptocurrency, we would like for you to give us a first-hand interaction with crypto transactions and whether you justify the ban of the cryptocurrency. I'm going to play you... can we quickly go there? Let's see whether I can help you with... Come down. Down. Stop. No. Go back. Hold on a second. I want to play you a short description of how the cryptocurrency works. Then I open up the telephone lines.
From Bitcoin to Facebook's Libra, you may have heard a lot about cryptocurrencies, but still struggle to understand them. So what are they exactly, and what can we do with them? Beginning with Bitcoin, which was invented in the aftermath of the 2008 financial crisis. The idea was to create a digital currency independent of any central authority that could be electronically transferred with minimal transaction fees. First of all, like normal fiat currencies, a cryptocurrency is also designed to work as a medium of exchange in the form of a widely accepted token that can be exchanged for goods and services. But what's significantly different is that it also works as a peer-to-peer digital payment system, which means it allows people to make payments directly to each other without the need of intermediaries such as banks or financial service providers as the PayPal. For cryptocurrencies to function, they use cryptographic technology such as blockchain with unbreakable encryption mechanisms securing the financial transactions and verifying the transfer of assets. So what are the benefits of adopting in cryptocurrencies for payment? Consider the current payment system we're using. When we buy or sell things or transfer money to others, the payment is usually processed by a bank or a credit card company, and that comes with some problems. Banks and other traditional financial institutions usually charge transaction fees, and most international payments take a long time and are expensive. You also need a bank account, something that 1.7 billion people around the world still don't have access to, according to the World Bank. With cryptocurrencies, the cost of making payments is lower thanks to the removal of middlemen, and cross-border transactions are almost instant, requiring only an internet connection. Take Facebook's proposed Libra as an example. It aims to take on traditional national currencies by providing greater convenience to Facebook's 2.6 billion users across the globe by giving them easier and more efficient payment services. But there are risks as well. Transactions in most cryptocurrencies are anonymous and untraceable. This has made them a useful tool for criminals involved in money laundering and other financial crimes. And as technology-based currencies, they're susceptible to cyber attacks. Besides, most cryptocurrencies, like Bitcoin, have no intrinsic value. They're simply worth what people are willing to pay for them in the market. So their values are extremely volatile. These intrinsic risks mean cryptocurrencies are still not regarded as a widely accepted form of currency. In a word, the crypto sector is still in its infancy, and as an experiment in monetary system for the digital age, it could well be the next step in the evolution of money.
Oh yeah, the evolution of money. Well, that was a whole lot of jargon if you ask me, particularly if you're used to the normalcy of legal tender where you give someone money, they give you change, you know? Then you hear that there's a new type of money in the works, has been since 2008, but it's digitalized. It's not physical cash. It's happening on the internet. And yes, you can actually convert, you can sell your Bitcoin and get actual physical cash. Yeah. But now the government is saying it's untraceable. Many of the, you know, by the way, Facebook also has a currency called Libra. So it's not necessarily, I mean, it's not illegal. It's a thing happening around the world, and some companies, there's a company like Facebook or a company as Facebook has their own Bitcoin. And yeah, they're different coins, different names. Okay, 0700-993-993-993. The government says, and that's really what I want you to understand, this has been going on in Nigeria for a while now. In fact, a former presidential candidate, Kingsley Moghalu, said that $500 million worth of Bitcoin has been traded in Nigeria within the last 5 years. So there's a Nigerian economy as you know it, then there is Bitcoin trade that happened in Nigeria to the tune of $500 million. And many Nigerians, or let's say some Nigerians, have been able to make an income from that. But the government is saying the reason or the justification for the ban is because, you know, people use the Bitcoin means to launder money, fund terrorism, purchase small arms and light weapons, evade tax. And for that reason, they think, let's put a ban on that. Someone sent me a question saying, Joyce, do you remember when the federal government, when the CBN banned the bank accounts of some NSAS protesters? He says, if you remember, one of the reasons that they gave was because they had a concern that some of those banks could be linked to or could be funded by terrorists or something like that. But then the government gave that and said that they wanted to investigate the possibility that, you know, those means or those channels, yeah, those bank accounts could be avenues through which funding was going or coming into the country for illegal objectives. I remember that. And he further adds, Joyce, honestly, I think that the government of this country just wants to impoverish the youths. Is a kind of disarming them. Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm off on a break. When we come back, you'll have the opportunity to speak on this very subject matter. And hopefully, this is also an opportunity for you to learn a little bit more about cryptocurrency. We'll be right back. I told you. Still in the trenches. The sunny side. 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Joyce. 0700-993-993-993. Cryptocurrency. So young guys, young men, women who trade until Friday, we're traders in crypto. Well, we need all that first-hand interaction with that particular side of the Nigerian reality. From your perspective, that's one. Two, the banning of this digitalized currency, does the good outweigh the bad? So now we have to think about how this certainly affects the economy, directly or indirectly, and those who it affects directly, particularly those who maybe have made this their side hustle, those who have used this to sustain themselves, particularly given the fact that Nigeria is not just battling with what we would call an enduring recession, but now a recession now further fueled by the coronavirus. On the sunny side. Good afternoon to you. Welcome. My name is Joyce. What's your name? Hello?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Welcome. What's your name?
Yeah, Rami Book on the line. Happy New Week. Happy belated birthday.
It's all right. Yeah, thank you. It's fine.
Enjoy. How was it?
Fine,
thank you. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
Thank you. It was fine.
Okay, for this cryptocurrency, I knew about it all about then. Was it 2010? But I entered into it 2016. I purchased it for 12,000 naira for 0.00 something naira. So this government, what they cannot handle, or
have
what
you
they
made any
control,
profits? Hold on a second. Did you make profits?
Actually, all they are saying they are right, because you see, you can be scammed. You know, I remember then I used it for Zafon, you know, this pyramid stuff back then. But I just have to abandon it. But it's appreciated, honestly. It's appreciated.
But you abandoned it.
I abandoned it. I need to appreciate it. I had to send it off recently. And I know I got my value back.
What did you get back? Because it's confusing. Why would you abandon it if you say it appreciated?
In the sense, it wasn't that much. But okay. I lose some money out of it. Then, but I didn't really lose more because I get my value back.
Okay.
You only thing depreciate and appreciate with time.
Yeah, it fluctuates.
Depending
okay.
on years.
Yes. Okay.
So, but my point for this very government policy, at times I wonder, what's the problem? What you don't understand, once can't you study it and integrate yourself into it? Because it seems as if they cannot control it. You know, that thing is encrypted. What to say? Blockchain is encrypted by it. You can't, nobody yeah. have access to it.
Yeah, and it's so, not regulated by any central
yes,
government.
Not really. Yeah, it's sort of a personal or individual business.
Yeah.
Now, it's a threat to them. There isn't a post that cryptocurrency is a threat to bank. So it's over to Facebook, that guys, all these other things. Now, why can't the government come into the system, learn it, know how to go about it? You know, the
okay,
other day,
that's
the FRC, they wanted to hold people that, or they want to tax people that use cryptocurrency. I was laughing at them. I say, hey, when I see them. So it seems as if what they cannot control, they just want to hate it.
All right.
Listen, as in paying people in this country, it's just like you said, one guy in the school.
Yeah, let's hear other people. Let's hear what they have to say about this. Thank you very much. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Sorry about that. 0700-993-993-993. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Joy.
Welcome. What's your name?
My name is Mike.
Welcome, Mike. So, do you have any personal interaction with cryptocurrency dealings?
Yes.
Okay, so what can you tell us about it? And how good is this? Does the good outweigh the bad?
Very good. Very, very good. And it has a lot of positive impact in the society. Honestly, speaking, I don't really know what the youth of this country did to the government. Aside being given a cryptocurrency, you can do a lot of things with it.
Okay. Like, what can you do with it? And pardon me, that's for the benefit of those who are trying to understand what we're talking about.
Okay, like me now. You know, I do trading.
Okay.
You can predict currency. You can also use your, let me say, like for me, I have Bitcoin wallet.
You have a Bitcoin wallet, okay.
Yes. And there's a foreign investment I'm doing. I use my Bitcoin wallet to invest in it.
Wait, you use your Bitcoin wallet to invest in a foreign business?
Yes.
Oh.
That's an advantage.
I mean, that's why we have it on radio, so that people will know. Oh.
You can be sleeping while your money is growing.
Ah.
Yes.
I like the idea of sleeping and you're making money.
You're making money. You work smart. This world we are in, the technology, the world of technology.
Okay, so how does this particular policy affect you as a Nigerian who's a trader in cryptocurrency?
Obviously, like this business I'm doing now, this investment I'm into.
Yeah.
When I'm paying, now we are able to cash out my money into Naira. They'll pay to my Bitcoin wallet account. Fine, I'll receive it.
But you can't go to the bank and trade your Bitcoin now for money anymore.
I cannot be able to convert it to Naira. This is where the problem is coming from. I must tell you, this is what I'm doing now. In a month, I can get like $20,000.
Sorry?
I'm telling you.
Really?
I'm telling you. And it's a clean business. And it's a genuine
Some of
business.
Us are sleeping on this thing. Wow. And then now we woke up when the government kind of put a ban on it. Okay.
I don't know. Because...
Have you ever... Hold on a second. I can understand the aspiration of making $20,000 a month. Have you ever... What was the best you've made?
In the cryptocurrency business?
Yeah.
I made a lot of money in it.
Give us an idea.
There are some risks involved. Like trading. If you are going to trading, you have to be very careful. You have to know what it takes.
So that was certainly one of the concerns, you know, of the federal government.
It's an agreement between you. If I decentralize the system, you don't want to put your money into it. You might predict that this currency might hit this also point within this
period of time.
Or hour. Okay. Period of time, yes. But what if you think fail to hit it? Your money is gone.
So it's like you're gambling. I mean, it's not gambling, but yeah, the risks are similar to you just taking a chance.
And there's another one we can also do. You can buy the currency when the currency falls. When there's a reduction, you buy. And when there's an increase, you sell.
You sell.
And that one, there's a high There's no risk in that one. Because you don't matter. Do your business. I don't do your business.
Okay. Okay. So this affects you, meaning that you can still trade, but now you can get Naira equivalents for your Bitcoin wallet.
Of course.
All right.
There are so many ways we can still do it. Because if you cannot get it in Naira, you just leave your money, be trading with Bitcoin. And it's, the government, I don't even know. They should find other means. They should regulate it. It should be regulated because there are some people who are using it for fraudulent activity.
Okay, so you support the government and their concern?
I like their concern, but I'm not supporting
them. You don't support the ban? All right.
No. It's not good. It will affect so many things. And then for instance, now, if someone like me make money in it, I can set up my own company here and I will exploit people.
If
I have my car, I will get a driver and I'll pay him. I will pay the driver. I give my house for a domestic worker who works for me. I don't have the value to contribute to the society. People don't know.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. And I hope things get better. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. This might just be a crash course on cryptocurrency. Hello. Welcome. What's your name?
Hi, Joyce. Good afternoon.
Good
my
afternoon.
Name is Chika.
Welcome, Chika. We're happy to have you.
Yeah.
Do you trade in cryptocurrencies?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. How does this policy affect you?
As far as I'm concerned, the policy, if you understand what this policy is all about, it doesn't affect me in any way.
Oh, beautiful. Tell us about it.
Yes. Okay, what the bank has done is to prevent us from transferring Nigerian Naira into your wallet, into your exchange wallet.
Okay.
Okay. So, it's easier to do that. However, now that they said we should not transfer that money, that's the only contact we have with the bank. You can only transfer through that to your exchange through the bank.
Okay.
Or receive Naira if you want.
Yeah.
Now I have my dollar account. You can, if any currency you want, you can have your account online on the exchange. So if I want to buy now, if I have a need to buy any type of crypto, for instance, Bitcoin, that's what we call peer-to-peer arrangement. Yes.
Me to you arrangement. That's what you're talking. Me to you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Me to you arrangement. So the exchange we are using, for instance, Binance, for example, you just go there, select any
currency.
Anybody who has posted that he has a certain amount of Bitcoin to sell to you. Once you initiate that plan, then Binance has a way of arranging that deal to happen.
Uh-huh.
Pay him the Naira, transfer the Naira to his account. If he's in Nigeria here, you transfer the Naira to his account, and he releases the Bitcoin for you. Then Binance handles that.
But now that the government says that there's no banks should interact or transact Bitcoins, can you still transfer Naira to the person?
Yeah, I mean, in your description, said you just mentioned that. I mean, payment for land, payment for this. Would they go and investigate that is Bitcoin currency? Then Bitcoin, I use the money to buy.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
So I don't know how smart they looked at this whole policy at the end of the day. You are only making it more popular. A lot of people didn't know about Bitcoin or cryptocurrency before.
Yeah, are kind of, triggered
so
by...
You are making it more popular. People are beginning to, what is this? What is this? Joyce, I will not lie to you. I have a regular work, but this is a side business. Between 3-4 days now, I know I have made up to a million.
A million Naira?
Not doing anything. You need to study.
Yeah.
Know the one that will go up and the one that will
come down.
You buy, set a price. You are not greedy, just set a price. If you make 50%, sell. You'll be sleeping and their trading will be going on. Once it gets to that price, it sells. And it's only the money for you.
So basically you're saying that, well, if I want to buy from someone, I can just transfer Naira into their account and nobody knows what I'm paying for. I just transfer
Naira. Nobody knows what you are paying for.
Oh, okay.
The arrangement is done on the exchange. Nobody knows. You can just tag it if you want. In the description, payment for land.
Yeah.
So and so place.
But then you cannot, yeah, but you cannot actually, you know, transfer, you cannot change your Bitcoin to Naira anymore. So are you going to just leave it in your dollar account?
No, you can.
Ah.
You can, yes, it's not denied, it's working. You, on the exchange platform, all you do is just at the click of a button, I want to sell my Bitcoin to Naira. It sells it there for you. Now you want to come back to Nigeria. Okay, look at what they did. They banned it. Yes, they will allow you to move your Naira from your exchange to your Nigerian bank. It's still working.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay.
My Naira in my exchange can still come to my bank account. The only thing is that you can't deposit Naira.
Before
we are using through the exchange, you go through Flutterwave.
Yeah.
Or any other, all these exchanges. From there, you can transfer money to the exchange.
Okay.
So that's the only thing they stop.
Look.
But you can receive your Naira. Once you change it, you can still receive it in your bank.
Thank you very much for that clarification.
And it comes with no description. It comes with no description. Like somebody paid money into your account.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So people are panicking because they don't understand it.
I mean,
Yes.
That's why we wanted to have this conversation on radio, so people would understand it and people who didn't know about it would know about it. I really do appreciate the clarity you've brought in here. Thank you.
Thank you.
He said, how many days did he say he's made 1 million? 3 days. I'm just sitting down here speaking English. The sunny side. Welcome. My name is Joyce. What's your name? Sorry about that. 0700-993-993-993. Cryptocurrency 101. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Welcome. How are you?
I'm fine.
What's your name?
Taiwo.
So you've heard about the ban on, you know, the crypto situation.
Yes.
It doesn't affect you now, does it? Or are you affected?
What I say about this ban is just that in Nigeria, people are very, very wise. They are very clever. They definitely find a way around it.
But that's the thing. Like, the government doesn't want the way to be illegal because we don't want to further make society any bad or worse.
I'm not saying it's trading crypto. I don't see it as illegal because...
Yeah, but some people are using it illegally. That's really one of the concerns the government raised.
Yeah, the legal part is people using crypto as all these money laundering people that they just from US, people transferring from the US. Okay, I want to send money to some people like probably $100,000. And you know there's a limit like probably $1,000 I can send it to crypto and from crypto you can send it back to me in India. So that's the legal part of it.
Do you trade in cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, I do.
So this doesn't affect you? Are you sure it doesn't affect you in any way?
No, it doesn't affect me. Okay, for instance, now, if I have probably 0.05...
Your line is breaking up. Sorry about that. Hello? I do apologize. It's not so clear. Hopefully you can call back. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Hello?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome. What's your name?
Francis Collins.
Do you trade in cryptocurrencies?
No, Jerry.
Oh, okay. Why?
But a friend of mine do.
So do you support the government?
I'm not really much aware of this cryptocurrency. I thank God that the government, they are now making it more popular.
So what's your plan?
The truth is that we're going to attack the devil. That's the truth.
What's the truth? Bring it back, you say?
We're going to outwit the devil.
You're going to outwit the devil?
Whether the government like it or not. That's the reality on ground, guys. We're gonna smart government.
Wait, outwitting the devil—that's the title of a book, isn't it?
I know. Yes,
okay. Yes, so, but you don't know about it, meaning that now you want to start learning about it.
I'm gonna go into it full time. And
but so hold on. The government is saying that people are using it illegally. You're not about to do anything illegal.
In the system of legal, you get illegality.
No. Hold on a second, though. No, the government's saying that they do not want people. Well, they're trying to at least mitigate what can be, you know, suppositions where illegality can thrive.
Joyce, forget the government. They don't really care about us. They just want to cripple the youth.
Why do you feel so? Because more youths are in crypto dealings?
That is the honest truth, Joyce.
I mean, that's a bias. I can understand you might have a persuasion of your bias, but is that that might not be the truth. They have given reasons. Have you considered their reason, though?
The reason is not concrete enough. Before cryptocurrency, the terrorists have been here.
Yeah.
Terrorism have been in the world. Have been in existence.
Yeah.
Joyce, will you agree with me?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So why are they now labeling the cryptocurrency as one of the strongest systems that support terrorism? Before cryptocurrency become popular in Nigeria, Boko Haram had been terrorizing the entire nation. Am I right, Joyce?
Well, I don't know what you want me to say at this point.
So Joyce, we're going to let the government know we are the system. We are the system, whether they like it or not. We're going to outweigh them.
Have you read the book Outwitting the Devil by any chance?
I'm going to read, guys. I'm going to read, guys.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
The sunny side. Does the good outweigh the bad? This singular move by the federal government to ban, you know, the trade in cryptocurrencies. They have actually shared with you what their concerns are. And I want to know whether you as a Nigerian understand that concern and support the government in this singular move. Hello, good afternoon to you. We're Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. What's your name? I'm sorry, I cannot hear you. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Welcome. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Philip. I'm from India.
Philip from where?
Yeah.
Oh, your line is so bad. Do you trade in cryptocurrencies? I do apologize. That connection was so bad. Hopefully you can make it back. Good afternoon. Welcome to Nigeria Info.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon, Joyce.
Yes, good afternoon. Welcome. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Bamidele.
Bamidele. Thank you. Do you trade in cryptos?
Yeah, I do. Just a little bit. Like, I'm actually not paying attention to it. I actually have Bitcoins. But okay. I've not traded with it before.
You're not saving it, are you?
I've traded with it, but I've not sold it before. So I just have it in values. So I bought some Bitcoins some months ago, I think, I bought it around 175K. And when I check it now, 3 months after, it's now about close to 700K right now without doing anything.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you sell it now, you bought it 175,000. If you sell it now, you're going to make 750K
or thereabout. I don't know. I checked the exchange. But the point there is this.
Okay.
Crypto is even more secured than any other. You know, people can even defraud you with your credit card, with all the things. With crypto, you can't even trace who sent you what. You can't, you know, it's secured. I really don't know the issue of the government. Mm-hmm. And one thing is, this is going to lead people to start doing more things illegally.
So that's the problem. Maybe I should speak a lot more on the choices that we make as people. Why would you want to do it illegally if you can do it legally, for example?
Well, people have to do what they have to do. This has become business for some people. And it's like you want to just run people out of business. Like, I understand that some people have even set up companies on this and so many other things like that.
Yeah,
and some people, this is their daily living business also. So they have to do what they have to do. So either they send it to you, grab anything, and you return to them with Bitcoin.
So you heard about the ban, but you're not. Have you checked how this affects you in any way? You haven't quite concerned yourself with
well,
it.
Well, for me... Yeah. I think for a very fervent, a good crypto trader, they will understand that this just brings in a little bit of inconvenience, but not that it's really going to affect anybody. It's not really going to affect anybody.
Okay, all right.
It's just an inconvenience on how you sell, how you buy, but acquiring Bitcoin and any other thing.
It's still very much in play.
Yeah, it's still very much in
play. All right,
yeah.
Thank you very much. Lagos, are you listening? Hello, the sunny side. Good afternoon. Welcome. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you.
Hello, Joyce.
Hello. Yes, good afternoon to you. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Very quick.
What's your name?
Austin from Ejigbo.
Thank you very much. Do you trade in cryptocurrencies?
Full time, right? Now.
Sorry, did you say full time?
Full time, yes.
You are the guy.
And I want to say that there's absolutely nothing like illegal way of trading in Bitcoin.
Oh.
There's nothing like
that. Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course. Now, it is totally legal. And I want to clarify something before I move on.
Okay.
The government is saying that people are using Bitcoin to do illegal stuff.
Yeah.
Sponsor terrorism and what's not, right?
Okay.
Now, before Bitcoin, other virtual assets have been used to do all those, right? Even cash, Naira, currency itself, fiat currency, were used to sponsor terrorism, other, you know, malicious stuff.
Yeah.
So anything that is a value, anything that is a source of value, you know, can be used for all those things. So Bitcoin is unfortunately one of those things.
Yeah.
So we can't just say, okay, because of terrorism, we should ban fiat. Can we say that?
Well, we can't, given that that's our only legal tender.
We can't, right?
No, we can't ban fiat.
You can ban fiat?
Well, the world is moving into this globalized idea where money is becoming digital. So maybe for now, we can't quite ban the fiat currency until the world agrees that...
Right. Now, you are talking about digital currency. So what is digital currency backed by? Fiat, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what we are saying. So if you cannot ban fiat, because even the digital currency, it's backed by fiat, right?
Okay.
And so it's just a representative of what is offline. So why you call it digital is because
it's online.
It's online. Thank you. Now, the Bitcoin itself, it's very transparent, unfortunately. So when they talk about terrorism and fraud, and the currency not being able to be traced, it's actually 100% transparent. So Bitcoin is built on a blockchain, and blockchain is 100% transparent. You can trace, you can track every transaction that goes on the blockchain.
So our
government is just backward. Now, do you know the reason why most governments are not able to ban crypto? It's because of the transparency and the decentralization, because you cannot exactly ban it.
All right.
So if you want to say that people are using it to launder money, how? You can actually, it's even more easier to trace these transactions, because number one, the platforms, this fintech platform that is into crypto, right?
Mm.
Before they get you into, before they onboard you into crypto.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
I do apologize to the last caller. We have to go for a short break. Hopefully you can call back. I sincerely do apologize that... All right.